Chapter 2, A Devastating Fire. Reb Yamin and his wife Reb Wolf were in the nearby town of Dobromysl when Reb Yamin's secret was disclosed by the great Rav of Polotsk. Rumors of the miracles and wonders performed by the hidden tzaddik of Lubavitch soon reached the ears of Reb Yamin. He was not at all pleased. What was he to do now? He had longed to serve Hashem in secret his entire life. Now, he thought, everyone will honor him and disturb him from learning and davening in peace and quiet. If he were able, he would simply find another place to live and never return to Lubavitch. But he was getting old, and it would be difficult for him to wander to distant, unknown regions. Apart from that, his wife was waiting for him to return home. With no choice, Reb Yamin slowly made his way back through the forest with a heavy and worried heart. He had no idea that a terrible tragedy had struck Lubavitch on the night before his return. In one of the homes, a kerosene lantern had fallen on a wooden table and set it alight. The fire soon caught hold of the wooden walls of the house. It then spread further to the neighboring homes. Tall flames jumped quickly from one row of houses to another. They were all made of wood and were built close together. The residents of Lubavitch struggled with the raging fire, but there was little they could do. Within a short time, nothing remained of the charming wooden homes of Lubavitch. A terrible scene greeted Reb Yamin as he entered the town. Its houses had been turned to piles of ash, with columns of smoke still rising into the sky. 100 families were left without a roof over their heads. Men, women, and children sat beside piles of clothing and other items that they had snatched as they fled their burning homes. Whatever they had left behind became fuel for the fierce flames. The townspeople were entirely focused on their tragedy. No one paid any attention to the fact that Reb Yamin had quietly returned. He made his way to where his home had stood just a day before. "Whatever Hashem does is for the good," he comforted his wife, whom he found standing there, not knowing where to turn. "Sometimes Hashem is angry with us, but instead of allowing something harmful to happen to us, he directs his anger to our property." The people of Lubavitch built tents for their families to live in until they could construct new homes. In no time at all, the steady sound of axes striking wood filled the air. Townsmen and builders were busy in every corner, dragging felled trees and fixing beams into place. There was no shortage of wood because the town was surrounded by forests. Reb Yamin was too old to chop wood and lift beams, so he hired workmen to rebuild his burned home. His neighbors were too busy with their own homes and rebuilding their lives to pay attention to anything else. Eventually, new houses appeared along the streets of Lubavitch, and life slowly returned to normal. Only then did the townspeople notice something highly unusual. Reb Yamin was building himself a home that was many times larger than any of theirs. "Why would an elderly couple without children need such a large house?" the people wondered. One of the neighbors could not contain his curiosity and asked Reb Yamin directly. "You are making a mistake," Reb Yamin replied, as a large smile lit up his face. "This is not a house for myself. It is a house for Hashem, a shul. You see, with all the fuss going on around here after the fire, nobody paid attention to the fact that a town needs a fixed place to daven. Since our old shul went up in flames, I decided to first erect a building in which we could daven to Hashem, and only then will I build a home for myself and my wife to live in." Reb Yamin's answer surprised his townsmen and reminded them of two things. Firstly, Reb Yamin was correct. They had neglected to make sure that the town had a new shul. Secondly, Reb Yamin was not the ordinary peddler that they had thought him to be all these years. He was, in fact, a Talmud Chacham and a Tzaddik, as the great Rav Bezalel Uri had informed them. This was now obvious from the story of the girl he had rescued from the robbers, as well as from the fact that he was building a large shul even before building a home for himself and his wife. The people now wish to honor Rebbe Binyamin, but he refused to accept any honor. "It's all stories, absolute nonsense," he insisted. "I am a simple Jew who barely knows the alphabet." As if to prove his point, Rebbe Binyamin grew even friendlier with the simplest people in town. He spent much time with the wagon drivers, the water carriers, the townsmith, and other simple workmen. The shul that he built in Lubavitch became known as Rebbe Binyamin's shtiebel. A few years passed, and Rebbe Binyamin and his wife found it difficult to continue functioning by themselves. They invited a young couple to live in their home to help care for them and their house. The husband was named Tzvi Aryeh, and his wife was Leah Brina. They were married for several years, but had not yet been blessed with children. When Rebbe Binyamin felt that his days were ending, he instructed that after he and his wife would pass on to the next world, Tzvi Aryeh and Leah Brina should inherit their house. However, the young couple had to agree to certain conditions. The house had to remain open to guests. Orphan children must be raised in this home. And two of their children to whom they would give birth must be named after himself and his wife, Binyamin and Sarah. One day, Rebbe Binyamin asked for the Chevra Kaddish of Lubavitch to be called to his home. They arrived and stood beside Rebbe Binyamin, who lay on his bed with little strength left in his body. He asked them to take care of a number of details that had to do with his burial. He then asked for someone to call his dear friend, Reb Wolf, the shoemaker. The two friends remained together in the room for a number of hours with the door closed. Then, without any warning, the door flew open and Reb Wolf emerged. His eyes were red from weeping. He broke the sad news that the soul of Reb Binyamin, the hidden tzaddik whose righteousness had been discovered only towards the end of his life, had now passed on to the world of truth. Sometime after the passing of Rebbe Binyamin, it was Rebbe Wolf's turn to be identified as a tzaddik. This occurred when a passerby from the town of Slutsk happened to stop off in Lubavitch. "Where is the Eloi, the genius of Slutsk, the son-in-law of Rebbe Yitzchak Gershon, doing here?" he asked in surprise as he pointed to Rebbe Wolf, the shoemaker. When the residents of Lubavitch asked the guest to explain himself, he told them that many years ago, the daughter of the Rav of his city had disappeared along with her famous husband, the Eloi of Slutsk. Nobody had seen or heard from them since. Rebbe Wolf realized that his identity had been discovered. With his wife's agreement, he chose to leave Lubavitch immediately. He would find a new place to live where he could once again appear as a simple shoemaker without attracting attention. After a few weeks of traveling, Rebbe Wolf and his wife arrived at a small village in the district of Volin. Rebbe Wolf worked as a shoemaker there and hoped to continue serving Hashem in his secret way as he had done for most of his life. However, something unusual happened in that village, and Rebbe Wolf was soon forced to continue his journey in search of a new place to live undisturbed.